let's get into question one. You see all around you lots of great ideas that can be translated into a new business. How would you best set about getting broad support and identification to all of these that then can have an influencing or signing off power from the people that you've got around you? And secondly, how can you make this sustaining and enshrined to avoid disruption when there is sometimes a lot of leadership change? Now, those two we've got to separate, but let's have a bite out of both of those. Laszlo, your thoughts?
Is that all?
For the time being, you know.
Well, let's see. So a couple of thoughts, and I will try and be as clear as I can when I sort of jump into the various points of view, because I think some of the leadership perspectives I can offer, as well as if you're somebody who's part of an innovation function, there's certainly some things you can do to help your fellow entrepreneurs as well. And then I will obviously also talk a little bit about what the actual entrepreneur can do to navigate their own organization and build the kinds of relationships you're talking about. So let me start with you jumped out with sort of structured curiosity. So let me say what jumped out in that question right off the bat. There's lots of ideas that you see kicking around the organization that doesn't, and I think that's one of the challenges we face. Ideas are cheap and easy. We have to elevate the conversation and change the currency from simply talking about ideas. They're necessary, they're a starting place. But let me give you an example of what I mean. So say you and I sat here and we brainstormed 100 things that Apple could do with the iWatch. Any sort of new features, functionality, partner products, any of those things. We'd have 100 ideas sitting on the table. But how many of those ideas are actually going to impact the customer and generate revenue? We don't know. Okay, we got a ton of them. We don't know. And this is what happens in organizations all the time. They generate ideas, but we don't actually know whether they're going to deliver on their promise or not. So the challenge becomes, how do I shift from these raw ideas into what we've learned from here in Silicon Valley, what every entrepreneur knows? You got to pitch a value proposition. You have to do that initial bit of work to elevate the idea so that people can determine whether it's a value, a raw idea, particularly if you're looking at entrepreneurial things, that it's just too early on to understand whether it's going to be interesting or important, right? We want to get some important ideas. So we've used over the years a methodology called CoStar. It's simple. Everybody can learn it. It spreads throughout an organization like a virus. And when everybody's able to collaborate around it, it's really powerful. And CoStar just is an acronym. So it stands for these 6 questions that every venture capitalist and most sponsors inside an organization will want answers to. So who's the customer and what's their unmet need? That's what the C stands for, right? What's the problem you're trying to solve and who and for whom? Second, the O stands for how big is this customer opportunity? Is it growing? Is it scaling? Is it worth our time and energy to invest in, right? So we're pursuing these customer opportunities. What the S stands for solution, right? How are we going to solve this customer opportunity? The T stands for team. Who needs to be on the team to be able to develop the idea and implement it? The A stands for the advantage. What is the competitive advantage of our solution over the alternatives? There are many ways to solve a problem. Why is this one the best? And finally, the R stands for what are the results we expect to get? The actual benefits to the customer, right? We're claiming we're solving this problem. What do they get at the end of the day? And then what are the returns back to the organization? What does the organization get at the end of the day? And by answering those 6 questions, you now go from a raw idea into a value proposition, which becomes something that you can quickly define your idea around and begin to sort of evaluate and test its success going forward.
I find it's interesting because the other day I was being pitched a new sort of idea management software.
Uh-huh.
Everybody is talking about the ideas. Everybody's talking about the numbers of ideas. Everybody's struggling on the return on investment. And I was talking around, I think, a different set of metrics, if you want to call it the
sure.
word.
Sure.
And you've given me a very nice set of metrics, which I wish I could have responded to them at the time, because, you know, if everybody starts talking about what you've just said, customer opportunity, solution, team, advantage, result, return,
yeah.
You're into such a different conversation. You're into such a different
exactly.
dimension of thinking. You're not there thinking, well, do you need more money? Because more money comes out of the conversation after you've actually validated what you've just said, your value proposition.
I love it. No, you're absolutely right on. And most people start with the big S, right? Hey, I've got a great idea, the solution part. And the work is to figure out the rest of those. But the richness of the conversation immediately elevates. And imagine if you were coaching that person and you were both comfortable in CoStar. You would now listen to the idea from a different perspective. You go, all right, does he really understand his customer and the unmet need? Is the opportunity there? You can start checking off the boxes and listening and providing feedback at every one of those, around every one of those factors. And suddenly he's miles ahead of where, or she is, of where they entered the conversation if they were asking for feedback or support. The other thing we found, sorry, I thought you were just about to ask a question, but the other thing you got me interested in is the pitching aspect, because obviously that's just huge in Silicon Valley. At every coffee shop, every executive office, they're just pitching ideas all over the place. And one of the things CoStar helps you do is it allows everybody to do a good pitch. And it's funny, when you think about a new idea, the assumption is, oh, I'll just explain it and people will get it. And yet then suddenly you realize I'm often talking to people who don't know me, who've never heard my idea before. I don't know them that well. I don't know what their agenda is. I'm always rushed for time. And in fact, it starts getting really difficult. I don't like public speaking that much. And I suddenly realize, wow, I only get one chance at this. You only get one chance at a first impression, and a great idea presented badly isn't so great. Suddenly my little explanation takes on all of these stress, as I suddenly have this burden to be actually deliver this remarkable bit of theater almost in the moment. And CoStar helps you do that, right? You can just answer those questions and deliver it along those lines, and you pull the person in with a basic pitch that you can obviously always make better. But that little bit of structure is really helpful.
I think the other couple of things that kick out of what you just said is, of course, as people get comfortable in dealing with this, it becomes a common language. It becomes the language of every time you need to say somebody says, let's just go through the CoStar routine. You know, let's just clarify for ourselves. Let's see if we're all on the same understanding, the same magnificent page that we need to do. So I think I like that. And coming back to, of course, within the questions that we're looking at is, one, you can, what you're really saying there is clarifying by having a good pitch value proposition.
Yep.
Get it through maybe this common language, as I've called it, of CoStar, which is what you're offering. So people get into a very clear sort of a pitching routine, know how it's coming and whatever else.
Yeah.
And thirdly, it begins to answer, if it becomes enshrined in an organization's language,
yes,
the leadership change doesn't necessarily matter so much.
Right.
It's because a person comes in, okay, he can rip something up and say, no, I know something different. But the point is, and leaders tend to do that, but the point is that at least you're avoiding some of the disruption, and people are going to recognize that you are coming through that particular sort of pitching routine, that value proposition, and hitting the key proposition points that you're looking for.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It becomes woven into the fabric. So for many of our clients, you know, I'll tell stories in a moment about the Swiss Post, right? This is in your own backyard, or Swisscom, other places that have used CoStar very successfully to sort of weave into the DNA of the organization. And it becomes really, really helpful. Leaders know what to expect, and they appreciate that the ideas they're going to hear have already had a round or two of thinking in them, that they're higher quality and that the dialogue they're going to have is up here. Because I think that's one of the frustrations entrepreneurs and managers have, is the disconnect between I'm talking too much about raw ideas and I don't have enough information as a manager or an influencer to really know whether the idea is of any value. And now we're caught in this funny thing where I'm having to sort of either trust you, or we're in the opinion war. My opinion versus your opinion. We don't have enough data, and the business case hasn't been filled in at least enough to give us enough hope to move the conversation past this initial dialogue.
A question for you, Leslo.
Yes.
Recognizing our time, and we've got three questions.
Yeah.
You've got obviously, do you want to come at the end with some clear sort of value points to say, look, this is what we did with so-and-so to prove it, like you just said with Swiss Post? Or do you want to bring those in at this moment of time because we've just
I'll hit a couple of client ones too. I had a client example for your next question, and I was even going to get more specific around the kinds of things an entrepreneur could do on the last question. So I sort of give you a little bit, but the Swiss Post is a wonderful example, right? They've embraced CoStar, and they have now a head of innovation who continues to disseminate it, use it for their business pitch competitions, all their sort of major investments, and they've just released a remarkable bit of innovation. It's just wonderful to watch companies as they get more confident and comfortable with their own innovation capabilities, the things they can do. So they just unleashed the first autonomous vehicle, a bus, an autonomous shuttle in Sion, right? It's cruising around now, 29,000 people over the last few months. It's a beautiful piece of innovation that they did in partnership with some startups that cost them almost nothing to get done. They were able to get through the city bureaucracy in just weeks because everybody was excited to be part of this new thing. So you can use innovation as a way to actually inspire all new kinds of behavior and support around that. They're just starting their first drone business where they're sending medical supplies to far regions of Switzerland. I mean, these are things that a few years ago they wouldn't have even dreamed they would be doing. And like many post offices,
they're obviously something that's close to my heart because I live in the country, and follow them on that particular point. But is that because each time they are actually using this pitch, are they actually framing, in conversations? So if they're talking to a government official or they're trying to change a piece of regulation.
Great question.
They're using this sort of framework to be able to.
Yeah. So what you find for places that use CoStar is internally, they pitch using that all the time. Right, that's the internal. If you're talking to people who've never heard a CoStar pitch, right, then you may want to shape it and frame it in a slightly different way. They're not expecting to hear a CoStar, and but you have all the information you need to tailor your pitch to whoever the audience is in those CoStar letters. And so, if you need to unbundle it and lead with, I've heard great pitches, Microsoft, Google, and Apple, all trying to solve this problem, blah blah blah, and here's what I'm going to do. So there, you're leading with the A, right? You're going to talk about the competitive advantage your idea has over the alternatives. So it's a compelling hook. It's a great way to start the conversation. And if no one has, it has some flexibility, right? But yes, internally, they pitch and develop ideas. It's why it's unique from a marketing value proposition, which means the idea is complete and we're just shining it, right? We're just polishing it. Here, you're actually using the CoStar to challenge your thinking about every one of those letters. Right. Okay. If the benefits aren't big enough, you have to rethink the solution. If the opportunity isn't big enough, you have to rethink the customer group you're going after. So each of those letters requires you to have a logic between them that elevates the output. And any idea, like in the Swiss Post, if you're trying to come up with ideas that are big enough to move the needle, right? We're talking about what entrepreneurs would do, or bold enough to change the game in your favor, or just better so you have a higher success rate. Having a common platform to start with so that you can collaborate together and idea champions, coaches, sponsors, executives can all weigh in is really, really helpful. There are other cool things they can do though. Maybe one last thought and then we'll go to the next question. So one of the ways they've built this into the organization is they have the notion of innovation juries. So one of you were talking about alliances and how do you do this? So imagine you're a manager, you're busy, and somebody comes down from the innovation group and says, hey, for 3 or 4 times a year, I'm going to need an hour of your time to look at cutting edge innovation ideas we're working on here in the Post. Are you up for that? And almost every manager will say, yeah, I can spend a few hours on a whole year. And you get brought into these meetings to hear early stage ideas and give feedback around the CoStars. So, these sort of transigent groups that you're going to have to try and enroll, one way to do it is to just raise the expectation. We will be innovating. We are inviting you in to participate in that, even if it's just a small way in the beginning. And you're going to sit in and you'll have some influence and help shape some of the innovations we're working on. And managers sign up for that, right? The other end of that spectrum is when you get a new employee. And new employee hires should be told, not only do you have to do your job, but we want you to think about how to make it better, how to make our customers happier. We want your ideas, right? So right from the beginning, you arrive as a new employee going, all right, I'm here. This is going to be my post office, right? I'm going to think of new ways to make it better and take responsibility for it. And you've got managers already sort of willing to hear the kinds of ideas that are going to be generated.
Okay.